Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there, Steve Arterburn here today on New Life Live. So glad that you have found a way to join us today. When I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Welcome to New Life.
Taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say. Change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. And, you know, we were just talking about churches' strategies to reach people. And I know of one church where they don't just form a small group out of their church, but they form a small group to disciple people and hold them accountable so that then they start a small group in their neighborhood or wherever, work, to disciple people and train them to start a group. And it's kind of like what they did with home churches in China. And I love that concept. I mean, it's really taking the Great Commission seriously.
And then, and there's another church that does what I forget the secret church they call it, and it's like a Friday night, and it starts at 6 o'clock, and it goes to 1 o'clock in the morning. Or
really,
something. And they sit and they discuss the Bible, and they start from Genesis and work their way through, and they do it periodically. And I mean that's becoming a serious follower of Jesus.
Well, it really
when they
is.
Do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just know when I'm preparing for a sermon, and I'm taking a passage of scripture and I'm really studying it and reading 8 or 9 different opinions about that and the exegesis of it, I just have a different understanding of God, Jesus, the Bible, the person that wrote it.
We've been doing the meditation, you know, taking 12, 15 verses and reading it over 5, 6 times slowly and getting something and then journaling it.
Right.
And it is. It's transformational because you do – the interesting thing is that it changes the way you understand God and experience God.
Yes.
But it also deals with sin in your life to where those things become less and less of an issue because there's more and more of God inside.
Yeah,
it's powerful.
Well, you know, when I did the 7-Minute Marriage Solution – part of what I did was based on the Center for Biblical Engagement study that if you go to church and read the Bible one day a week, does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do any pathway changing in the brain.
Yeah.
2 days? No. 3 days? No.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's 4 days, when you do it more days than not, it changes your character, changes your decision, changes the dynamics in your relationship.
That's the key. It changes your character.
That's right.
It's down deep inside.
And their study showed that the use of pornography, the chances of someone using pornography drops by like 59%.
Wow.
Or the chance of someone being unfaithful drops by around 60%.
Mm.
There are just so many things that it changes. And so I've tried to get people to spend 7 minutes a day with the Bible and with each other and praying, and it reboots your relationship, gets you focused on God and real things.
And if they really get into it, 7 minutes won't be enough.
No, it won't be enough.
But that's where you start. Yeah.
And then
anybody can do 7 minutes.
And then the other piece is to try to help them stop the 7 most destructive things and start the 7 most constructive things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on a survey of 1,361 married and formerly married people to find out. And so I hope that you'll not only look at the 7-Minute Marriage Solution, but you ought to look at how much time am I spending in God's Word, and am I really serious about not just my own life, my own faith, but am I serious about the faith and the life of other people around me, people that I love? We'll take a break. We'll come back with New Life Live and your phone calls right after this.
Throughout my life, he tried to show me that he does love me. Instead, I chose the lies of the devil.
Healing is a choice. It doesn't just happen. It's a decision that you must make.
When I told them that I had a problem connecting, they said, well, that's what you're doing right now.
At New Life's Healing is a Choice weekend, you'll experience a change in character and faith. After being guided by Steve Arterburn and attending sessions with New Life's group counselors, you'll understand how to heal.
This weekend was actually a humbling experience for me. It's exhaustingly refreshing.
The next Healing is a Choice weekend is July 26th through the 28th in Dallas, Texas. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
And I just want to say thank you for bringing me here.
Make the choice to heal today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard. Dave and I were just talking about you while you were out. Not really.
Yes, you were talking about people of deep character, right?
Isn't that what I overheard? We had you in mind. That's right.
Well, we're going to go to the calls right now. I'm going to start off with Sue. I don't know where Sue's calling from. I don't know where she lives, what station she listens to. But I want to talk with Sue right now. So let's go to Sue. Hi, Sue. Welcome.
Hello. Well, I'll get right to the point.
Okay.
Married for 35 years.
Okay.
Husband severely addicted to pornography, has been in total denial of that for 35 years. Has finally acknowledged it. Do have him getting help right now for that one issue through Celebrate Recovery. We've also been in the pastorate for 20 of those 35 years. So
what's he doing now?
Well, right now he is a leader of our men's ministry at church.
Mm-hmm.
Not really working much, not full time. He really hasn't worked in 10 years. I've been supporting the family and completely because he's been in severe depression but will not medicate for it and has had some health issues.
Now, why won't he medicate for it?
Because he has taken so many other medications for high blood pressure and he just won't do it. He just won't. Believe me, I've tried. I've had him in front of lots of counselors, but that's not my question right now.
All right.
And I'm trying to get him more help now. But my question is, when everything sort of came to a head 6 months ago, I got desperate and went to his older brother, who I knew 15 years ago when he was in his 50s, which is what my husband is right now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a break with reality, a DID, I think they would call it now. Back then they called it multiple personality disorder. But we had found out about it by accident within the last couple of years. There's some big secrets in my husband's family that he does not know or is totally in denial of. I don't know which.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently when the brother and the older sister were very, very young, there were some severe ritualistic abuse situations in the family that were actually, it was the father that was doing this to them. And these things, now that I've known them for 6 months, and I have not been living at home during this time, I've stayed with my mom who's been ill, but I found this out a month after having left, and they don't want me to tell him. They don't want him to know. They think maybe he didn't go through it. They both got out of the house as fast as they could, left him there at 4 years old, alone. And now I did get him to start Celebrate Recovery for the pornography issue.
Yeah.
And that seems to be helping that issue.
So what's the question for us?
The question is, Am I wrong in feeling like you can't heal from what you don't acknowledge or don't know about? Or is it best to just keep all the lies, everything hidden from my husband? I'm really struggling with the whole keeping a secret.
So Steve has had a statement that he's made over the years that I've always copied because it's so profound. Yeah. We're as sick as our secrets.
Oh yes, that's what I believe.
And mm-hmm. So keeping all this, I think that his brother and sister are motivated by guilt.
Exactly.
If they left the home, left him at four, and he certainly did experience it because there had to be somebody there that could. Mm-hmm. So I would be careful though in how you bring it up, and you might want to have somebody else with you mm-hmm. there in the room so it feels contained on his part, mm-hmm. and then say these are things that your brother and sister have told me went on in your family. And I don't know if they've affected you or not. I can't see
how
they wouldn't
have.
If you have any memory of that, you know.
Well, what he does have memory of, and this also just came out 3 months ago after I insisted on the Celebrate Recovery in order to try to pull our marriage back together, he was abused in a home outside of his home, just a few houses down, where there was very likely at that time, I mean, my gut, my instinct just tells me there was a pornography ring going on there, because it was there for years and years, and it involved young boys and teenage boys in a room in a house or three houses down from his.
And his dad could have been involved with that. You never mm-hmm. know.
I kind of, that's exactly. Oh,
okay,
gosh,
so
you are confirming
everything
that my heart has been telling me. Okay, all right.
It's one thing if you didn't know any of this, and when people try to kind of conjure up things, but you know a lot, and the brother and sister know a lot. And so, you know, your husband does need to know. I mean, he's been depressed for 10 years.
Yes. Yeah.
He's probably been depressed a lot longer.
A lot longer than that. Yes, but he's not been working for 10 years.
Yeah. So I think what we're saying is it is best for you to share it with him carefully, maybe in mm-hmm. the presence of somebody else that can help him.
Somebody that he trusts.
Don't expect him to look you in the eye and smile and say, thank you, I knew there was something. Yeah. He may not like you telling him, but give him time.
And maybe a little bit, you know, ask him, you know, okay.
Well, a little bit.
At a time, meaning like over a couple of
sharing it as this is what I've learned, and I don't know what of this stuff has affected mm-hmm. you in the past. But these are the things that I've learned in the last 6 months, and they're shocking to me. And share a little bit at a time, and don't expect a response from him. Don't try to get a response from him. Just say, you need to think about it and let it sit.
Yeah, there you go. That's very good. Here's something.
Okay. Versus kind of telling him and then checking in and asking him, okay, how are you doing right now?
Well,
do
ask
you want
how
me
you're
to
doing.
Proceed?
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine.
That kind of thing, you know?
But not saying, do you remember, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, don't go there. Let it emerge because...
Yeah.
And I would be much in prayer before you mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah.
I would have people praying while you're doing it, because it's certainly an area where the enemy can attack.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you called.
Well, thank you so much for the advice and the time. It has, honestly, everything that you have said is what, just following the Spirit and what I felt God telling mm-hmm. me is what I have been doing. He does know that there is some big secret in his family.
Okay,
they do not want me to share.
And
he knows this.
You tell him.
He doesn't know exactly what it is.
Now, if he needs additional help with the pornography, then ask him to go to Every Man's Battle.
We have looked into that. I'll be honest with you, there's financial issues right
now.
Well,
be honest with you, we have a scholarship fund.
There is one?
There is a scholarship fund.
Awesome. How do I find out about that?
Well, hold on. We'll put you through the call center, and you say, I'd like to...
Say, Steve said...
There's a scholarship fund. Because you fill out the information, you apply for it, and, you know, there's a good chance that there's finances there for that to happen.
Well, thank you.
Okay, hold on. And I'll send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. I hope that will help you in your marriage. Now, you know, we only have a scholarship fund because people give. And the most people that give have been affected by the ministry. Listen
well,
to this.
They give specifically for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those people do, yeah.
Here's a testimony from an 83-year-old first-time giver. She said, I must confess that I've been getting a free ride of wonderful advice for some time now. Your response and godly counseling to many troubled call-ins has helped me tremendously in my role as an 83-year-old widow trying to encourage and guide my two adult daughters, my 11 grandkids, and yes, even my 10 great-grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
Through many challenges, good and bad. In today's culture, when families are falling apart, through thick and thin, God has seen us through many difficult situations, and we're so blessed. Please forgive me for waiting so long to say thank you for your ministry. Here's my first-time gift. It's never too late to help us. And what a great thing that she has been helped. Her children have been helped. Her grandchildren are going to be influenced, and her great-grandchildren are going to be influenced. You could do that, too. Call us and say, let me give my first-time gift, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or let me sign up for Club New Life. I think you'll be glad you did. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Karen from Atlanta, Georgia, WNIV. Hi, Karen. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How can we help?
I have a husband of 18 years,
yes.
Second husband,
yeah.
Who has kind of abandoned me, and I think my real issue is I've been abandoned by two husbands trying to give them everything of me, and I have in this 9 months lost my home 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I lost my job because of this trauma. I've lost, I have nothing, and I know deep down that it's because I've given everything. Now, my present husband, I love him dearly, but I found out that he kind of set me up 8 years ago planning on leaving and destroying the house and making it worthless, so it had to go to foreclosure. We still have a relationship. He lives with his mother. He told all of our friends that I'm his best friend. He has great resentment for me and that he is sorry he married me.
Okay, so what is the question that you've got for us today?
I don't know how to stop hurting. I put myself, I don't know, I go with him every time he calls. I sleep at his mother's house a lot. I just can't separate it from me, and I'm the one that has lost everything. I mean, I'm about to be completely homeless. I'm 62 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a great time when I'm with him. And logically, I know the deal, but I just can't.
So you certainly pay a price, though, for that, Karen.
Yeah, you're holding on to whatever you can hold on to, Karen.
So let me just clarify. So when he calls you and you have a great time with him, does that end up with the two of you being intimate?
Yes.
Okay. So you, I mean,
he gets all the benefits.
I hate
not,
yeah.
not always.
Yeah, but okay. But I hate to bring this up, but it could be that he's continuing to use you and take from you without giving you anything.
That's probably true.
And I am so sorry.
Yet,
and
when we're together, it's like old times. I mean,
yes, and then he gets what he wants or decides he doesn't want that, and things go back to the way they were.
And it's devastating when I leave again.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's the thing.
Right.
Here's what he does rather than ask you to have a good time with him. He goes and he gets a job and he helps earn back the money that he's lost and helps get you and him back in a house. I mean, that's the sign that it's better. Not that he just wants to use you.
Right, because you've been married 18 years, and you're going backwards. Now you're going back to him living with his mom and dating.
Well, he still has money that he could put us in a house. And I know all this.
I'm so sorry.
Because, Karen, what little you have sounds like it feels better than nothing at all. And it's the nothing at all that you're facing.
And I worked so hard to make this marriage last.
There's some things more important than that, and one of them is learning how to say no.
But I think I'm wondering if you feel like it's something about you. You keep getting abandoned.
Probably. And I've lost everything.
Well, if you have any chance of having the marriage you want, you have to make some decisions that you don't want to make. And when you say no to him, then you get to find out if there's anything there. And there's a greater chance there's something there when you say no than when you just meet a temporary need. We'll be back after this.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas July 26th through the 28th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we are back. Every Man's Battle is August the 16th, 17th, and the 18th in San Jose, California. Please, if you need some help with sexual integrity, call us and let us help you. Let's go to Port Arthur, Texas, KWRD. Shanita is on the line. Hi there. How can we help?
Hi, my name is Shanita. I believe my house is haunted.
Really?
And, yeah. And I don't know what to do. I can't go anywhere because I don't have the funds to move.
Now, why do you think it's haunted? Why do you think it's haunted?
Well, one day I came home. Well, first of all, the lights flicker on and off.
Okay.
All by themselves, and it'll come on, you know, on and off by themselves. I went outside to go check the breaker box, cut the breaker off, cut it back on. Everything come back on but except that room, that side of the house, the hallway and my bedroom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I went to church. I came home from church. I went in the bathroom, and I didn't get to feel the crucifixion, the pain that he went through, but I got to see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Okay. me and my son, we lay. I wasn't able to sleep. I was watching a movie, Inside Man, and some things were playing in my head. You know, as far as to kill my son, and I'm saying I'm not going to kill my son. You know, because God has blessed me with this child. He's a blessing from God. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So in my mind, as these things are going on in my head, I'm praying at the same time.
Yeah.
When I did finally come through to it, I hadn't been able to sleep for 3 days. Like, when I finally did, I called up my prayer warriors at the church, and they prayed for me. Okay, they gave me some anointing oil, and I blessed the house and inside and out and everything. And I wasn't able to sleep, but when I finally did get some rest, it was very, very, very peaceful. Thank you, Jesus. So my son, my mom, she stays like 2 blocks away from me, and she usually, when I'm having problems and you can't sleep or whatever, she'll come to the house. But for some reason, for those 3 days, I was not able to get in contact with her whatsoever. I could come over to the house. She wasn't home.
Okay.
I called her. She
was right.
On the phone. Now, I wasn't able to get
okay.
in contact with her.
All right, hold
but
on.
Anyway,
hold
my
on.
Son.
Hold on. Is there any other thing that causes you to think your house is haunted?
Well, when I first got to the house, the door, they had a little thing you can knock with. It had Damon on it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I know that the word Damon derives from the word demon.
Okay. All right. Let's hear what our resident expert on haunted houses has to say.
Well, can I just ask what the age of the house is? Do you know how
I have no idea.
Is?
I haven't done research on the house, but I know that the address has been changed because on my GPS, it doesn't show my address. It shows another address.
Okay.
Hey, I've talked with people who've had that kind of feeling after somebody has been in their home that was kind of, you know, they felt was demonic in terms of some of the things they did. So they, I'm thinking of one right now where she got one of the pastors from her church to come and to pray and to pray deliverance and to pray all through the house, every room of the house, and that was the end of it. Never was another problem.
And didn't you say that you did that?
Yes, I did. I did myself.
You did it.
I prayed over the house.
But did you have someone come?
I did the anointing with the oil and everything. The only thing I have not had was I have not had a preacher to come to the house. But I did consult with my pastor. And he asked me, do I think it was gone? And I said yes, because things had died down. But Friday, baby, I had a horrible day Friday. Friday was my son's birthday. So after the birthday party and stuff, you know, I threw him a party or whatever.
Shanita.
I let him go to my
Shanita?
Yes?
Let me tell you what I think. I think that, first of all, you are obligated to have an electrician look at your house.
Okay.
I think you're obligated to find out if there is a wiring problem in your house.
Okay.
You have
way of saying, could it be any other explanation?
Right. Because what you've told me is that in the house there was Damon on the door knocker and you've had flickering lights. In your head, you had some feelings of wanting to destroy your child that you worked through. So to me, the only real symptom of the haunted house is flickering lights. And so you need to see if flickering lights are due to poor wiring in your home, if it's an older home especially. Now, as to feelings of wanting to destroy your child, if those persist and you have that again, you really need to see a counselor about where that's coming from. Because it may not be from demon possession or an evil spirit. It might be just a little malfunction in your brain that could be helped. But you don't want to be living with those kind of thoughts cropping up again.
Well, and it could be the pressures of life, of motherhood. I mean, mothers don't ever admit it, but we do have negative feelings towards our children
right.
at times.
And we don't
we
really?
Do admit it.
And you don't talk about it. And
no.
So then it rises up from within you in some kind of strange dream or urge that you think somebody's telling you to destroy my child.
Right. And if the demons are putting it in you, you know, that sometimes feels more tolerable than it's coming from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a way to explain it.
So Dave said, you know, get a pastor involved. I said get an electrician.
Or get your whole prayer team to come.
Yeah,
right.
And that's
together,
right.
Together, all of you go through, yeah. And in the name of Jesus.
I'm going to send you. You are what you think.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Let's go to Renee from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hello, Renee.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
I'm absolutely thrilled that you called us and hope we can help you.
Before I get into my question, I do want to thank you and your team for all the work that you do and everybody that you've helped. There's so many of us out there, and we love you, and we'll continue to support you.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Now we're going to give you really good advice, okay?
Yeah. My question today is, when is a good time to share information with someone that you're dating that is health-related and that would possibly be something significant that would impact the relationship? I'm asking this question because I'm a cancer survivor,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, some people have different emotions around that whole diagnosis and, you know, what
sure.
that all entails, because it's different for everybody. But when would be a good time to share that information with someone that you're dating and not feel like you're deceiving that person?
Yeah. Are you cancer-free? Is there a good prognosis?
Yes. I have a very good prognosis. And
okay.
Well, I wouldn't share it on the first date.
No need to. No.
I know not to lead in with, hi, I've had cancer.
No, I think that when you start to feel comfortable with somebody, then that's the time to do it. And my wife's a cancer survivor, and if somebody was to reject her for that, I think I would be ready to take them on. Because she's living a completely healthy life, and so are you. So I don't know that if it's a deal breaker, you don't want that deal anyway.
Yeah.
Well, is what I'm saying,
and it does,
I guess,
depend on who the other person is. You know, I think when they start to also share things about their life, you know, that the relationship is ready to kind of move to another level. But if this person you're dating, let's say, lost his wife to cancer, you know, certainly you would want to tell them, but that's going to be a more sensitive issue, and that might be a deal breaker.
There's some reasons to be sensitive.
Now, here's another issue. I've actually dated two people that did not have cancer, and their MO was to make up that they had cancer to kind of hook me in and develop sympathy. And so I just think you should be aware that someone might think that, you know, might.
That would be a problem in and of itself.
It would be.
Right?
It would be a big problem. But I think, you know, if you are on a third or fourth date with somebody and you're really feeling the chemistry's there, I think, you know, you should share it.
Just share it.
It's just part of you. If he asked you on the first date, have you ever had cancer, you'd say yes, and you'd wonder why in the world.
Well, I wouldn't say yes right away. I'd say, why do you ask such a question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, why do you ask? Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to send you, is this the one? It's my dating book. I hope you like it. It'll help you get ready. And we're glad you're cancer-free.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely.
Okay. Let's go to Leslie, Chicago, Illinois. She's been holding on for a while. Here we go. Leslie, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you. It's so great to speak with y'all.
Thank you. How could we help?
Every now and then, or about once a year, I used to go stay with my family, visit them for an extended amount of time. I live in Chicago, and they live in Atlanta. And this is, I'm talking about my mom and dad.
Uh-huh. How old are you?
And in the... I'm 44.
Okay.
Married with two small boys.
Okay.
And so we just take a vacation and go down and stay with the grandparents and hang out. And anyway, my brother in the last several years has moved in with my parents, and it looks like he's there to stay. He's been in and out with them at different times. And I'm wondering if it's unreasonable for me to be scared or put boundaries in place regarding my brother. He has been diagnosed as bipolar. Mm. He at times will smoke pot and become psychotic. And he's a hunter and has access to guns.
Mm.
Never been violent in the past.
Mm-hmm.
When he's psychotic, he's usually always very compliant and will go to whatever crisis center or whatnot, you know, that my parents are insisting that he go to. But I just don't know. I don't feel comfortable in going and staying for an extended amount of time. And my parents look at me as if I have 20 heads when I explain this to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm being unreasonable.
I'm not sure that you are. Why don't you invite them to come visit you?
Well, they absolutely do that, and that's wonderful. But I do have, in the state of Georgia, you know, there's extended family, and we get together for holidays, and my brother inevitably will go and be staying in the same home.
Well, just don't stay in the home. Can't
a hotel?
Can't you get a cheap hotel room and just eliminate having to spend the night there?
That could happen. I guess. I want it to be so different to where I could go and stay it used to be, oh, yeah, you promised me the boys are going to come visit us during the summer and, you know, my husband and I could go take a trip somewhere. And I've told them, I'm like, that will never happen because they don't require anything of my brother.
Okay.
No drugs. No.
He's not on medication?
No.
That's what you said.
He goes off and on. And
so that's the problem then.
You know, and he has been an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic. He's not an AA.
What he does, Leslie, is he self-medicates with the pot and the alcohol. And I think that your parents will never understand because they're basically enablers for his problems.
Right.
So I wouldn't try too hard to explain. Just say, you know, I told you we're just not comfortable coming when he's there. in the house. We're going to work on coming and staying someplace else to sleep, but then we'll be there in the daytime,
well,
like Steve
and then
said.
You just,
that's it.
You don't leave your kids alone with the brother.
Uh-uh. And let me send you Dave's book, Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, because that'll help you in your relationship with them. I think that's really the only advice. Go visit, be with them.
But stay someplace else. Right. And that means maybe you can't go as often because it's a little more costly. And
That's right. Okay, Dale, Chicago, Illinois, WYLL. How are you, Dale? Dale, are you there? Dale, buddy? You got a Dale, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. There how could we help you?
Just checking out, sorry. The Home Depot. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're at the grocery store? You're at the grocery store?
Home Depot.
Home Depot.
Oh, Home Depot. Right. You doing a little remodel?
We had somebody before at the grocery store.
You doing a remodel?
No. Doing some drain tile for a customer, landscaping.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, how can we help you, and what's the landscape look like in your life?
Hot, very hot.
It's very hot.
90 degrees in Chicago.
Do you want me to put you on hold and get back to you in about 5 minutes?
No, I'm fine. Actually, I'm getting into my truck right now.
Okay. How could we help you?
My question is, how can I get my wife back, to basically try and capture my wife's heart again? She's had an emotional affair, and because it hasn't been physical, but basically she has decided she doesn't want to be in the marriage any longer.
Oh, wow. How long have you been married?
For 3 years now.
3 years. When did the problem first crop up?
I just became aware of it just about 6 months ago. It was, I get very suspicious and just was checking out her telephone and found text messages and things like that, making innuendos. And
yeah. Why do you think it's only emotional?
I'm sorry?
Why do you think it's only emotional?
Well, I mean, he's not in the state. As far as I know, they haven't ever. They know one another. They're they're old friends, but they haven't seen each other as far as I'm aware.
Well, I am. I'm so sorry. We're going to take a break. You can hear the music, and when we come back, we'll try to give you some help. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right. You know, God is so smart. He says, "Get married. Only have sex when you're married. Stay married, honor each other, and you're going to have a great life. You don't do that, you bring fire and brimstone down on your own head. Not thrown by him, but created by you." We'll be back.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
first time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Dale. He wants to know how to win her back, but it sounds like, Dale, that she's out the door. Is that right?
That's how I feel. I mean, that's how I feel.
She says she doesn't want to...
Obviously, in a physical sense, but...
She says she doesn't want to be married, right?
But Dale, are you guys married or are you engaged?
Married.
Okay.
You're married. You've been married for 3 years. So, what's gone wrong in those 3 years?
Well, there's a lot going on in terms of just, you know, a lot of things that had come in to the marriage with regards to I have a 10-year-old. Son from a previous marriage, and so that has created some problems. And we have two children, and they came kind of quick.
Oh, wow.
Two and three.
So there's a lot of pressure on the relationship.
Right. There's correct.
And so,
you know,
is she wanting to take the kids with her or leave them with you?
Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, you know, there was some separation in terms of just the emotional separation on both of our parts, you know, and when I found out about the emotional affairs, read some of the text, you know, I just came out and started spitting fire.
Sure.
You know, and she took the approach, well, you know, just a friend, and he doesn't, you know, he made comments like, well, you know, when we're together, I'm making a nest for you and the boy.
Okay. All right. So here's one thing you can do. You could say, look, there's a marriage conference. It's a weekend with counseling, speaking. Would you be willing to go with me to see if we can't turn this thing around?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if she won't do that, will she go to marriage counseling with you? If she won't do that, then you tell her you're going to go to counseling to become the man that she always wanted.
Sure.
And if none of those work, then there's not much else you can do.
Well, yeah. I think you need to think about what has she been saying to you about the marriage.
If we were talking to her, what would she say is the problem?
Because
she had said, the intimacy is not there anymore. She doesn't feel intimate towards me. Doesn't have those feelings towards me. Still loves me.
So what changed? What changed? Because I mean, other than there's a lot more people in the equation now, and a lot of times when women become mothers, that's not usually when they're feeling the most intimate. And yet there's something that has gone awry there, because now she is seeking some kind of fantasy elsewhere.
Yeah.
Something that's going to take her away and make everything wonderful.
Right. And she has said that it's when I pulled away from her. And it was just, again, you know,
just me stepping back because of all of what had gone.
Okay.
Had happened.
So you tell her, I'm not giving up, and I want you to go with me to this workshop. No, I won't do it. Okay, I want us, let's get some counseling together. You know, okay, I want to get it on my own because I want to fix whatever it was.
Well, but, and I think also she's feeling emotionally abandoned by you.
There you go.
Okay, you pulled back, and now she's going towards a fantasy. So you let her down, and so it crushed the feelings. And so whatever you can do to move toward her and to move toward her in an emotional way, I think is important. And to, you know, explain to her that you get it now. And
there you
and
go.
Hopefully you do. That you understand how much that hurt her. And that she maybe interpreted your pulling back as you not caring or you leaving her.
Right, yeah. And I had listened to a program just a couple of days ago where you're sort of saying the same thing to another gentleman that his wife was saying.
Mm-hmm.
She was out, and she was physically out the door at that point. But and I have done those things and realized my part in it and you know, poured my heart out and have acted differently, you know, but it just, I mean, sometimes she, you know, and I recently found that she said that she was not going to communicate with him, and it seems to me that it's she's willing, but then when she's communicating with this other,
right.
Gentlemen.
Well, you have to say to her, you have to find out whether or not she's willing to not have any communication with him. Now, if you can get her to go to the weekend or counseling, then they can help her see that she has to get him off her phone and address and all that.
You guys have kids at stake.
Oh my!
You know, at least for the kids, right?
And that's why you want to do everything you can. In fact, I'd alter what I said before, and I'd say the first thing you'd want to say to her is, I pulled back, I'm going to get some help so that I can become the man you want to be. Now, are you willing for us to go to a marriage conference? If no, marriage counseling. And then if no, well, for the sake of our children, I'm going to go get some help because I want to pull this together. And I love you and I miss you. And we fell in love. And we had a lot in common. And then a third party got involved. We got to get that third party out of there, and you start, you know, you stand up for you kind of be a John Wayne here while you're also saying, but I want to reach your heart. It's a tough balance.
No, you're absolutely right, Steve.
Yeah,
women
tough.
Need to feel that you have some strength behind you without being controlling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad you called. You know, there are phone calls up here that I can't get to, but are we doing shows tomorrow? No. Next week, call us back, please. Please call us back because there's some major issues that we want to deal with. And I'm so sorry that I couldn't get to your call. If you need some help, though, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We got all these people that we have worked with for years. Just gave Jeff a 5-year appreciation certificate this morning. They care about you. They want to help you. And call them and let them try. Just say, could you help me? 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If not, let us find a counselor for you. Or there's a resource there. Dave's got every book ever written on forgiveness. I mean, it's right there. And one of his greatest books, You Are What You Think. A lot of times you think you are not, but you are, if you just would think differently. All right. And then there's a 7-minute marriage solution. All these things. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. But these people want to help you. They want to find a resource or a counselor in your area or get you to one of our life-changing, transformational, amazing weekends. That's what they want to do. Join us if you can. Support us. Become part of the New Life Giving family. We care about you. And if you care about us, caring about you, care about us enough to support this ministry. Were you confused?
We're trying to follow
up.
You.
I gave up.
You gave up. Okay. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you for listening to us. And if you have a prayer request, we take those very seriously. You let us know at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We also appreciate your comments about the program at newlife.com. We want to know what you think, especially when it's good and positive. No, we like the negative stuff too. We do try to adjust our personalities and get into therapy over the comments that you make about the program. So make them. See you next time right here on New Life Live. God bless you. We love you. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.